been a privilege to have been together for this conference, and especially to be able to share with you some of the lessons which over the years we've been out in Africa, I personally have found I've had to learn and relearn. And I trust that they've been a blessing to you and perhaps to others who might listen to the cassettes. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. We haven't talked about relationships at this conference, but I'm sure in our activities as Christian workers, missionaries, we've come to realize that one of the problems which often does arise, and even on the mission field, maybe especially on the mission field, is relationships. Relationships between a missionary and his or her fellow workers. Relationships often between missionaries and elders. Relationships between missionaries and just some of the people that we're seeking to minister to. Some folks seem to relate wonderfully well, but we know that very often problems crop up, even back here in the States. I can think of twice on this furlough. We've asked about a certain brother or a certain sister. Where's brother so-and-so? Oh, well, you know, there was a bit of a problem. Misunderstanding. And so they were hurt, and they left. Well, where are they? They're not even in an assembly now. They go to some other church. Sad, isn't it? Of course, leaving is never the answer. Problems need to be resolved, and they need to be resolved, as we'll see from this verse 21, in the fear of God, or in the fear of the Lord. And of course, on the mission field, at least when we went out, you couldn't just pack your bags and leave. I realize today you can get a plane even to Zambezi. So actually, you could, one sister who's relative died, her dad, she was able to get back from the bush to the States within, I don't know, not much over one day. But when we went out, you couldn't pack your bags and leave. It could take you 2, 3, 4 months to get to the middle of Africa. And if things didn't go too well and relationships weren't too sweet, you couldn't pack your bags and say, well, I'm going home. Leaving's never the answer. In fact, some of the older missionaries had a kind of a gentleman's agreement. If one sister or brother didn't fit in, because they said, well, there's always seems to be personality problems here, they had the gentleman's agreement that they wouldn't want that particular sister or brother just to transfer to another mission station or missionary. Why? Why? Because they realized that the problem was not because of the personality clash, but the problem was an attitude. So whether you have a problem here, you transfer to another place, you'll sure to be bringing the same problem there sooner or later. So leaving is never the answer, of course. And here, after looking at the subject we did yesterday, being filled with the Spirit, we are given this instruction in verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Herein is a principle of major importance if we're going to work in right relationship with our fellow believers, our fellow nationals, and so on. I understand the Greek word here is, let me read it. Hupotasso, which I'm told is a military word meaning to rank under, not over, to rank under. So there's no indication here of a kind of a hierarchy where people rank one on top of the other, not at all. Rather, it is each believer gladly submitting and subjecting themselves one to the other, because they love the Lord. Polk says this, there must be a willingness in the Christian fellowship to serve any, even that sister that seems to cause me such a problem all the time. There must be a willingness in the Christian fellowship to learn to serve any, to learn from any, even from that national brother. To be corrected by any, regardless of age, sex, race, or other human differences. And of course, as we think about this subject, submitting to one another in the fear of God, we need to notice the context. It follows verse 18. And we need to remember that. You can't jump in at verse 21 and say, okay, let me try and be submissive to my fellow worker, submitting myself in the fear of the Lord. That's like jumping in at grade 3, you know. Well, a little kid doesn't start in grade 3, but some of us want to jump in at grade 12. A kid starts at grade 1, and that's why we need to follow the order, and perhaps we need to go right back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. And read of some of the beautiful things in chapter 1 that the Lord Jesus Christ has brought us into, believers standing by grace. But at least go back to verse 18, which is why we started there yesterday. Be being filled with the Spirit, and only then will we be able to have any, will there be any possibility of us being able to put into practice verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Of course, in the world, everybody wants to assert themselves. They want to get to the top and have other people under them. But in the church, under the control of the Holy Spirit, it should be the very opposite. And it's not likely that it will be unless we are seeking day by day to be filled with the Holy Spirit and letting Him control us through His Word. And so if we have problems, we can call them personality clashes, or whatever we like. What is the answer? Well, the answer is not leaving. The answer, I believe, is to go back to verse 18 and ask ourselves individually, am I consciously and actively seeking to let the Holy Spirit control my life and my behavior through His Word? You see, it's a spiritual problem. When we can't get on with another brother or sister, of course it goes on to talk about marriage. And that also follows verse 18. The wife must submit herself to her husband. The husband must love his wife as Christ loved the church, and so on. There's a problem in a marriage. How are you going to solve it? Well, the world solves it their way. There'll be a separation, even a divorce. But that's never the answer, of course, never. Why? Because when a problem does arise, we need to realize it is a spiritual problem. In fact, in the book of Malachi, talking about marriage problems, twice God says, take heed to your spirit. That's where the problem is. I must look at my spiritual life. And if I am not seeking to put into practice verse 18 and allowing the Holy Spirit to control my thinking and so on, and so my behavior, then it's very easy for there to be clashes within a marriage, on the mission field, amongst workers, between workers and nationals. And so the answer is obviously to go back to verse 18. Otherwise, in my relationships, day by day, we will be hurtful to one another. There will come divisive problems and so on. And the way to solve them is simply to get back to the order we're given here. Be being filled with the Spirit, leading on to submitting one to another in the fear of God. Now let's take a look at this verse 21. As we seek to be fully controlled by the Holy Spirit, we saw yesterday, that means allowing the Word of God to fill our hearts and minds and souls. So through the Word, the Holy Spirit will remind us something of ourselves. Before we begin to lift ourselves up in some sort of an elated position, well, I'm a missionary, or I'm a senior missionary. I don't know where you find that in the Word of God, but anyway, we hear it used. Or I've been here longer than that worker. Or I'm better educated. No, as we look at the Word of God and allow it to fill our hearts and minds, the Holy Spirit teaches us something about ourselves. Right here in the book of Ephesians, before they were given this instruction, of course, God had told them what they were like without Christ back in chapter 1. You were without hope, hopeless, helpless. I look at another worker and I say, well, you know, she's just so difficult to work with. I mean, you don't know what we have to go through in this place. And that missionary looks at me and thinks to herself, that fellow, he's so hard to work with. I mean, how can anybody work with that guy? Well, who's right? Well, call in some overseas brethren or our elders or whatever you have. Who's right? No, we don't need to do that. Why? Why, because they're both right. You see, but without Christ, or naturally, we're all difficult. We're all selfish. We're all self-controlled. We're all capable of being unjust, unrighteous. We're all capable of even lying or twisting the truth. We're capable of being rude and hurtful by nature. And the Word of God reminds us that before we were saved, as I mentioned, Ephesians 1:18, we were hopeless. Helpless, without God. We couldn't put into practice this verse. We were lost and damned. More than that, as you look through the Word of God, I think, well, you know, I'm living a better life than that national. Well, without Christ, did I have any morality? Did I have any goodness? God says, oh, my goodness. My righteousness was like a bunch of filthy rags. Meekness? No, according to Romans, there was nothing good in me. Nothing good. Romans 1:2-3 reminds us very forcibly of our sinful selves, with or without the law. Until you get to chapter 3, we were all under the power of sin. But of course now we say, haven't we improved a little? Well, by the grace of God, our lives should have been transformed. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. But unfortunately, we still have the old nature. And the old nature can rear its ugly head right there on the mission field. When a fellow missionary does something that I don't particularly like. So as a believer, what am I like now? Is there anything good in me? Well, if you go back one chapter, two chapters to chapter 3, verse 8, that great missionary, the first great missionary to the Gentile world, the Apostle Paul, looks at himself, we look at him and we praise him and think, what a wonderful man. And Paul looks at himself and says in verse 8, I am less than the least of all the saints. That's not even good English. I'm less than all the saints. You say that. I'm the least of all the saints. But if you're the least of all the saints, that's the lowest place you can take. But as he looks at himself and realizes what he is, he says, I'm less than the least of all the saints. With an attitude like that, it would be easy, wouldn't it, to submit ourselves one to the other in the fear of Christ. Now, when we're on furlough as missionaries, I'm sure you've had it just like we find it every time we come on furlough. People start praising you. You sacrifice so much. What a wonderful couple. You ever hear that sort of thing? You know, after a while, maybe you, like us, you begin to think maybe these people are right. And we've discovered that as soon as we start thinking that, it's time to leave America and head back to the bush in Africa. Because the first meeting you have, you're likely to have a brother stand up and pray something like this, Lord, you know this fellow, he's got no wisdom of his own. He's just like a child, doesn't know what to say, so please give him something profitable to say. It'll bring you down to where you really belong pretty quickly. We so want to lift ourselves up, and other people want to put us on pedestals, and we've got to keep checking the Word of God to make sure the Word of God fills our hearts and reminds us just who we are and what we are, even with Christ, less than the least of all the saints. Remember a missionary once saying, I don't think any missionary should be under the authority of the local elders. He's only responsible to his commending assembly. We discussed this a little bit amongst the men yesterday. Am I a cut above all those national brethren just because I'm a missionary? Of course, if God has given me or you the privilege of going out to a place that's never heard the gospel, obviously he will be using you or me to teach those people to whom he sent us. But what about when there's an assembly established and there are godly elders in that assembly? And of course, many of us go to places where the work has already started. Can we go out there and say, well, I'm not under the authority of these local elders? Would you do that if you transfer from one assembly in the States to another one in another city? Say, well, I'm not under you elders. After all, my assembly was back there in New Jersey. No, of course we wouldn't. And we can't do that out in Africa. They're not a lower kind of an assembly. Those elders are no less elders than any other elders that God has appointed in his work anyway. And we must be very careful that we as missionaries don't try and take or assume liberties which we wouldn't dare to do back here. I remember when we first went to Malawi many years ago, and that work was started basically by the nationals themselves. More than 100 assemblies there now, very active brothers and sisters. Two younger missionaries went up there on a holiday, and they visited some of the assemblies, and they came back completely disillusioned. They said, you can't do anything up there. Why? What's the problem? All they want to do is sing. Can't even preach. No time. Well, of course they only wanted to sing because they hadn't had much Bible teaching and they didn't know anything else. Well, we had the privilege of going up there and They arranged a big conference, 21 assemblies gathered together one Saturday. This large group of people, and the elders came and said, "You know, when we have these conferences, usually every assembly sings a song of welcome." Oh my, here we go. I said, "Well," I said, "you brethren are the elders. You do what you feel is best." I said, "We are just visitors here to help if you want to help." I said, "Actually, if you wanted to postpone your singing and do your singing on another day, we could spend the whole of today teaching you the Word of God." "Oh, you could? Okay, well, we'll cancel our singing." You see, they'd never had anyone come and be willing to teach them for the whole day. And so, that was the beginning of some thrilling times we've had up there. But you can't get the confidence of other believers unless we are willing to take the lowly place, submitting to one another in the fear of God. We had there last June elders from 62 assemblies sitting for more than a week listening to the Word of God from 8 o'clock until midday, after which we give them notes. Well, that's another subject. But anyway, what I'm pointing out is, if we want to work amongst people, the believers who need teaching, we have to go in with this attitude, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, because, of course, it's very easy for us as missionaries to think, well, I mean, surely my abilities, my gifts, my training makes me superior. I've got superior knowledge to these people to whom God has sent me. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7 says this: "For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" I go there and say, well, I've got all this knowledge, you know. Knowledge puffs up anyway. "Whatever gift or ability I have, I received it as a gift from the Lord. There's nothing at all for me to be boasting about, thinking that because of that I am in some way sort of superior to the people to whom I am ministering. God is the one who makes us different. God is the one who gives us different abilities." And of course, if you look back in Ephesians chapter 4, where it talks about the Lord giving gifts and so on, To some he gave, verse 11, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. What, for what purpose? To lift ourselves up? I'm a teacher? Not at all. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Anything that God has given me in the way of an ability or gift is always for the edifying of the body of Christ. Never for my own aggrandizement or for me to think I'm a little superior. I need to be submitting myself, all of us, one to the other in the fear of God. Sometimes, you know, because of our nationality or race, we begin to think we're superior. That's a tragedy. That's the way the world thinks. The world is drunk with the wine of their position, their success, their ability, and so on. But I'm not to be drunk with the wine of the world. I'm rather to be filled with the Spirit, fully controlled by Him, and then be willing to submit myself one to the other in the fear of Christ. I'm not the missionary who always knows best. We are members of one body. You will find this in chapter 4, of course, and in many other places in the Word of God. We are joined, chapter 4, verse 16. In Christ we are joined together as one body. One body. Every part of the body is absolutely basic and necessary. And if I, as a missionary, put myself on some kind of a pedestal and think, well, you know, Christ is the head, so perhaps I'll take over the position of the neck. I know what to do. I know how the head would want you to behave. I know, and so on. Every part of the body is necessary. Even that young brother out there on the Lungivungu River. You know, when I went up as a youngish man, 41 years ago, we went to start a new work on the west bank of the Zambezi River. The Simses had gone just before, and a brother from Chivuma, who's with the Lord, a dear brother, called Falanga, he also went. And there I was as a young missionary, probably thinking I knew it all. But my, when I started getting that language and realizing some of the customs that the people were involved in and so on, I didn't have the answers. I had to go up many times to that dear African brother, Brother Falanga's house, and sit at his feet. He didn't know the Word of God like I knew it. He didn't have the education that I had. He didn't have many of the things that I had, but filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that man had spiritual wisdom. And I was able to sit at his feet on many an afternoon, learning from that dear brother. And I thank God for him and others like him. You see, every member of the body has a place. It's so easy for us to forget it as missionaries and begin to think, well, okay, that brother or sister, but I mean, what can she offer? She's part of the body. Chop a few toes off, you'll have a difficulty walking very easily. Chop an arm off, you'll have difficulty doing your work. Pluck out an eye. Well, you know the analogy from the book of Corinthians. What do we do when one of the brothers or sisters makes a suggestion? We need to listen carefully. She or he is part of the body. A fellow missionary, perhaps a young new missionary, makes a suggestion. Of course, we used to tell them years ago, when you go out to a mission field, for the first 5 years, just keep your mouth shut and your ears open. Well, not all young missionaries do that. So what are we going to do as older missionaries? Well, as older missionaries, we need to remember that we're all part of the body. And that young missionary may have a lot to say, but I better sit down and be willing to listen to what they do say. May not be right, may not be acceptable, but I need to be willing to listen carefully and see whether it will help the situation or not. Just to apply what we've been talking about briefly in a negative way, therefore, I must never be thoughtless or impetuous when I'm out there on the field. You know, we can often make a quick decision as a missionary without consulting my fellow missionaries who are working in the same area, and naturally it'll bring friction and unhappiness. And I've got to be careful that I'm not selfish when I make decisions, thinking of my aspect of the work. I mean, maybe I run a bookshop, or I'm preaching in the villages, or I'm running a hospital or an orphanage, I'm working in the school. And when missionaries may get together who are working in one area, it's very easy for me to think of only my aspect of the work. Very easy. It only brings friction, of course. then we do have these problems. And I must never be self-opinionated. Of course, we need biblical conviction, New Testament conviction. But my own personal ideas and views and opinions, I've got to be willing to set aside for the sake of the advancement of His kingdom. So easy to resent criticism, you know. Criticism from a national. Do we listen when some national criticizes us? Do we listen when maybe a younger missionary may say something critical? Well, it's easy to resent criticism. And so I have to get back to the Word. I'm letting the Holy Spirit fill my heart and life. Gazing upon some of the treasures which our brother has been talking about in Christ. See myself as he sees me, just a sinner saved by grace, and by the grace of God sent to work in that particular area. And if God uses some younger person, or maybe a lady who I don't think much of, to bring a little criticism to me, I better take it as from the Lord and weigh it up prayerfully before Him. So easy to resent criticism from others. Sometimes a decision may be made by a group of missionaries and someone's not happy at all and say, well, okay, you guys do it all. I won't be involved with that. That's actually a threat. What I'm doing, I'm threatening them. Unless you do it my way, I'm not going to be involved. Is that the fruit of a life filled with the Holy Spirit? No, of course not. And so, I want to concentrate now on that little phrase, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Because it's a phrase that's repeated four times, in one way or another, when instructions are given as to how the filling of the Holy Spirit will be working out in our lives. It works out right there in the assembly, or the mission field, submitting ourselves one to the other. It works out in a marriage. Wives, submit to your own husband, and there it is again, as to the Lord. It works out with children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, chapter 6. It works out with servants and masters. Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. As to Christ, in the Lord. As to the Lord, in the fear of God. What's God saying? God's saying, here is the motive for submitting yourselves one to the other. In the fear of God, as unto Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ taught us, of course. We'd like to look back briefly to Mark chapter 10, or I'll just read to you since I've got the place marked here. Mark chapter 10, verse 35. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? They said, well, we want to be a little more important than anybody else. Grant to us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. We just want to be a bit more important, you know, after all. Well, after all what? And so the Lord Jesus has to teach them. But notice, before he teaches them, when the other 10 heard it in verse 41, they were up in arms. And who do you think you are? Why did they say that? The other 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. Who do you think you guys are? After all, they were indicating, of course, that they wanted to be more important than these two fellows. So they're all the same. And the Lord says, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles, they lord it over them. That's the way of the world. Their great ones exercise authority over them. But it's not going to be so among you, verse 43. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. My, that's strong language, isn't it? I go out there as a missionary, and I want to be somebody great, and the Lord says the way up is right down. You are servant of those to whom I've sent you. You're going to be a slave of those to whom I've sent you. Whoever desires to be first shall be a slave of all. And then he gives the example of his own life. Verse 45, for even the Son of Man, God the Son, did not come to be served, but to serve. To give his life a ransom for men. Yes, it was taught by the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course it was practiced by him when he left the glories of heaven and came down to this earth. We have a good example of his humility, serving, in John chapter 13, don't we? They'd gotten ready for the feast of the Passover. According to the custom, of course, they'd gotten the dish of water there and the towel ready for the people's feet. Those who attended the feast, feet should be washed when you first entered a Jewish home, apparently. Somebody should get up and wash the feet of the ones coming in. If you had a servant, of course, that would be his job. But there's no servants here. Well, of course, there should be 12 servants there, but they hadn't learned the lesson that the Lord had taught them. And so, nobody gets up to wash the other's feet. Finally, after giving them a little while to think about it, and maybe to change their minds, the Lord Jesus Christ gets up, God the Son. The one before whom every tribe and tongue and nation will one day bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, gets up and, taking a towel and a dish of water, kneels in front of these 12 proud men and washes their dirty feet. What an example. What an example. If then your Lord and teacher has washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And so that little phrase added in here, submitting to one another in the fear of God, he taught it. He put it into practice. And of course, he expects us to do the same. If we're going to show our gratitude to him, if we love him with that first love, we'll be willing to be servants of all. There's the motivating thought, because Christ taught it, because Christ did it. But there's also the empowering to do it, the Holy Spirit. And as I let him fill my life day by day, he will enable us to do that. We need to put this into practice. Why? Because it's my job to show something of Christ to the world around me. To show something of Christ in the way I live my life in front of those people to whom God has sent me. If our gospel is hid, it'll be hid to those that are lost. We are supposed to be epistles seen and read of all men. They don't read the Bible. You've heard of the Muslim countries. And of course, parts of Africa, they can't read. So they're going to read you and me. And what do they? Do they see something of Christ? You may have heard of the pineapple story. I'm sure you have. A missionary, was it New Guinea? Anyway, wherever it was, he planted a field of pineapples. And they were looking, coming on nicely, and just before he was thinking of reaping them, maybe in a week or so's time, he got up one morning, they're all gone. Stolen. My, he's living amongst a bunch of rogues, obviously. Well, he planted them again. The same thing happened. He replanted, and the same thing kept happening. And each time he got more and more annoyed. and frustrated. And finally, he came to the end of himself, and he handed those pineapples over to the Lord, said, "Lord, they're your pineapples. If you want to have them stolen before I eat them, that's fine." And as soon as he was willing to let God have his way and let the Holy Spirit fill him in that particular connection and fully control him, of course his whole attitude changed. And you know what struck me when I heard that tape? Those people to whom he was preaching the gospel came to him and said, I don't know what they called him, in Africa it would be Bwana, "Bwana, have you suddenly become a Christian?" My goodness. How would you feel if somebody came to you after 5, 10 years of work out there where God has sent us and said, "Have you suddenly become a Christian? You've suddenly changed." What a terrible, well, what do we say? Humiliating thing to hear. But perhaps that's what some people think, you know. That fellow was sticking up for his rights. I mean, he planted the pineapples. Wouldn't you stick up for your rights? We plant a garden. You're not happy if somebody comes in and swipes all the corn, you call it here. You're not happy at all. So easy to stick up for our rights. Who wouldn't stick up for their rights? Well, of course, there is one who wouldn't stick up for his rights. The Lord Jesus Christ. The one who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Couldn't go any lower, but he went lower. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Where were his rights? King of kings, the Lord of glory, laid aside. He who became a servant in order to seek and to save you and me sends us out to be servants of those to whom Christ has sent us. Servants for Christ's sake. And of course, another motivating thought is that I have to stand one day before the judgment seat of Christ. There may be a vast number of people who have been saved through my ministry, but what about my attitude? Will that be checked up on that day? You weren't a servant. You went out there like a boss. But perhaps it shouldn't be the fear of the judgment seat of Christ, but rather the fear of disappointing the one who gave his everything for me that motivates us to put this into practice. Will I disappoint that one who gave his everything for me? I'll see him face to face and I'll have to look into his eyes. Will I be willing to say to him on that day, "Well, Lord, thank you. I believed in you. I believed you died for my sins. I trusted you as my Savior. But you know, I didn't think it was that important to obey you. So I didn't actually submit myself to my brothers and sisters. I mean, after all, you do remember, don't you, that I was a missionary. And so I was a bit proud and dictatorial and boastful. Will he look at me like he looked at Peter in Luke 22? Sorrow, sadness, love, but oh, how disappointed. I wonder what Peter thought. It would have been far easier if the Lord had been angry with him. But he wasn't. It would have been easier if he'd reprimanded him. But he didn't. He looked at him. As if to say, "Peter, you know, I was depending on you. I was depending on you, but you let me down. I still loved you. But in the words of chapter 21 of John, do you love me Do you really love me? And maybe the Lord is saying that to us. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and became obedient. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, for the glory of God the Father. What a privilege for you and me to be his servants, to go out and spread this wonderful message of the one before whom everybody is going to bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, for the glory of God the Father. Oh, brothers and sisters, if our work is to be of eternal value, let's in repentance return to our first love. Let's learn to pray, not my will, but thine be done, even if it means abandoning some projects which are so dear to our hearts. Let's seek to let the Holy Spirit control our lives day by day. And as he does so, he'll lead us into a life of submission one to the other and the fear of the Lord. And this morning he's saying to you and to me, do you love me? Then go back to that mission field and feed my lambs. Do you really love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me with that first love which you had when you first came to me? Then go back to the work I've given you to do and show them something of myself. And God bless these thoughts to our hearts.